And welcome back in Wednesday Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com. Mike Bernard's coming in here with us from OTM Sports based out in Las Vegas. We're going to talk about the college football playoff rankings that were released last night. Mike, a lot of things we expected, some things I didn't expect, to be quite frank with you.
Well, we talked about Notre Dame being ranked 7th or 8th as far as odds makers out in Vegas and around the world for that matter. Mm-hmm. But we also said I thought they would be 4 or 5 and the committee put them at 4. What are the teams or what are the surprises you see?
Well, I tell you, let's just kind of run down this thing. We'll dive into the top 15, top 10 real good. But coming in at number 25, Virginia. 24, Iowa State at 4-3, but they have the toughest strength of schedule in the country right now.
And a new quarterback. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. Fresno State at 23, 22 Boston College, 21 North Carolina State, 20 Texas A&M, 19 Syracuse, 18 Mississippi State. Again, A&M and State, both three lost teams in this ranking. And then Texas at 17, Iowa at 16, and we'll delve into number 15 and on up. 15 is Utah. But let me tell you what surprised me more than anything. Of course, Clemson sitting there at number 2, 8-0, and very well should be. That's where I think they should be ranked. But what surprised me that jumped out at me is not necessarily Clemson from the ACC being ranked number 2, but what surprised me is how many ACC teams were backloaded onto there. Syracuse, North Carolina State, Boston College, and Virginia. To me, that looks like the committee is giving a lot of credence to the ACC and the quality of football that they're playing right now.
I'll say this. Virginia is a really good team. Bronco Mendenhall, he's changed the culture there. They do have 2 losses. But, again, the loss column isn't the most important thing when you get into this time of year. I would agree with you. Now, those ACC teams are way back. They have mm-hmm. Syracuse at 6 and at 19. They have Virginia at 25. I don't think they – I would say the committee views the ACC as probably the third best conference. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. And I think that's why it surprised me, even though it was backloaded, that there were so many teams from the ACC there. But, again, that's really not going to have any bearing ultimately on what happens with the top 4. And I think we have to look at – really we've got Utah at 15 – Penn State at 14, both of those are 2 lost teams. Even Florida at number 11, I really think those teams are out of the mix. I'm not saying that's not where they should be rated, but they're not going to – they don't have a pathway to get to the top 4. However, and again, we'll dismiss this real quick. Number 12, Central Florida, they're 7 – yeah, they're 7-0. You know, we both know that regardless of what they do, they're not going to get a shot to get in the top 4. The system's not designed for them to get into the top 4. But really starting at the top 10 is where everyone has a path to get into the top 4 when you look at number 10. And I still believe, depending upon what happens, number 13, West Virginia, how they play out the rest of their schedule, if they run the table and they're a one-loss Big 12 champion, depending upon what happens above them, I think that they have a shot to get in. But realistically, you know, if Ohio State runs the table, I think, you know, they're probably going to be in as the Big 10 champion. If Michigan runs the table, I think they're going to be in as the Big 10 champion, because obviously we know this week that either Alabama or LSU one is going to drop. I think if it's Alabama that loses, they may drop to 4. But if LSU loses, that's their second loss. They're totally out of the equation.
Well, if LSU loses, they can't go to the championship game, and I don't see a way for them to get back into the mix. So I'd agree with you there. In addition to the Alabama-LSU game that's played this Saturday, of course, the winner of that game is going to play Georgia and Atlanta and Georgia sitting there at number six.
Yeah, it's almost like a round robin elimination between Alabama, LSU, and Georgia from this point on out. You don't know where the pieces are going to fall, but we know this, that we've got a de facto championship game for the, well, I say it's de facto, it's really not a de facto. It is,
right.
It is a championship game for the SEC East in Lexington on Saturday afternoon between number 9 Kentucky and number 6 Georgia. Obviously, the loser of that game, that's their second loss, they can't get to Atlanta. They're out of the equation. I don't see Kentucky beating Georgia, but the winner of that game is going to be – they're still going to be in consideration, and they will control their own destiny.
Exactly. And here's what the rest of the country is going to be pulling for. They want Kentucky to win that game, and I'll tell you why. Because if Kentucky wins that game, they're not likely to beat LSU or Alabama in the SEC title game, number one. But if Georgia wins that game, and let's say they go and they play Alabama and lose in overtime, a two-loss Georgia team still has a chance to get in the top four. So that's why the Pac-12, well, I think the Pac-12's done, but the other Power Five conferences are hoping for Kentucky to win that game.
Mike, let's talk about how you guys at Vegas, again, y'all, you guys use a totally different ranking system. You're looking at matchups, and of course these games will be played on a neutral field, the semifinals and the finals. They'll be played on a neutral field. But I would have to think that everyone has Alabama and Clemson in the top two spots.
You're right. And the Vegas odds makers, and again, just for our listeners that haven't heard this before, what Vegas does is they look and see who's going to be favored over who on a neutral field. And that is the greatest barometer we've ever had in college football, much better than the AP or old UPI and so on, the computer polls included. This is the best barometer because for those that don't believe in it, then just go to the window and say, I want all the underdogs, but I don't want the points. You're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So here's what Vegas says. Vegas has Alabama 1. It has Clemson 2. It has Michigan number 3. And now, of course, you got to remember, Michigan lost to Notre Dame. Where does Vegas have Notre Dame at this point in the year? Around 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. But another interesting thing is Georgia and Oklahoma sitting at 6 and 7. Basically, they're tied for 4th in Vegas's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting about the Notre Dame ranking. If they're that far down, Michigan, as you said, I believe you said, ranked 3rd in the Vegas rankings. Obviously, you guys are putting a lot of stock in that loss taking place the first game of the season and taking place on the campus of Notre Dame.
Right, and that is a factor. But again, what this is basically saying is that no one would be favored over Alabama on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. No one would, but Alabama would be favored over Clemson on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. And the only two that's favored over Michigan on a neutral field were Alabama and Clemson and so on. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works, and that's how they come up with their power ranking. They don't look at they don't even really look at injuries, so to speak, unless the injuries would affect the point spread.
Okay, Washington State, they're sitting out there on the Pac-12. They're getting no attention right now because even though I love Mike Leach, I love the way he runs his program out there at Washington State. They are playing better defensively than they have in years past. However, it's not a championship style defense at all. Is Vegas giving any credence to Washington State being able to even run the table and be a one-loss Pac-12 team?
Well, again, Vegas doesn't go into predicting the future. Mm-hmm. They're just looking at the point spread. But I'll say this. Now, you and I have talked about Washington State for weeks now and said, hey, don't sleep on this team. Mm-hmm. Now they're sitting at 7-1. Mm-hmm. Vegas kind of agrees. Mm-hmm. The playoff ranking has them at 8. Vegas has them around 9th. Mm-hmm. So based off of that, Vegas is saying that only 8 or 9 teams possibly would be favored over Washington State at a neutral site.
And would take away a very questionable targeting call in that Southern Cal game. Washington State's undefeated right now.
Right, and that would really help Washington State's cause and the Pac-12, for that matter, because the Pac-12's only hope is Washington State. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I believe they have to play Washington in Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't have my screen up, but if they do, they're going to be an underdog there, regardless of their record, and even though Washington has three losses at this point. But Washington State's their only hope. But again, Coach, when have we ever seen – the playoff scenario run to form? Not once.
Yeah, that's true. You go back and you look at the past rankings, and a lot of times you have week one and week two kind of, you know, looking very similar, but then after that, but it's chaos. I was doing a guest spot on a show up in Chicago and yesterday, and of course, you know, Chicago is a Notre Dame town, no doubt about it. It's less than 90 miles away. You have a ton of Notre Dame alumni there. But we were kind of going over some of the potential teams leading up to the rankings last night. And I said that the best team in America right now is really not Alabama. It's not Clemson. The best team in America right now is Washington State's offense and Kentucky's defense. If you could marry those two together, you'd have a pretty good football team right now.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree with that. Of course, we won't ever see that, but That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. And look, we're talking about Washington State not having a championship style defense, mm-hmm. but the game has changed.
Yep.
In the years past, you had to have the great defense. Well, remember, I think the best defense that Alabama ever had was the 16 team. Mm-hmm. And they gave up 30-something points to Clemson and Deshaun Watson because they were on the field for 99 plays, mm-hmm. and they lost that game with 1 second to go. Mm-hmm. So the game has changed, and a great offense can beat mm-hmm. a good defense in this day and age.
Okay, Mike, let me ask you, does Vegas see, and again, I know you guys don't predict the future, maybe I should just ask you from a personal standpoint, LSU beats Alabama this weekend. And you've got Alabama with one loss, LSU with one loss, and then Georgia, and we'll go ahead and say Kentucky. And again, let's remember now, Kentucky has still got to play Tennessee down the road. That's a huge rivalry game for them where anything could happen. But let's just say that your SEC champion has one loss, and then, of course, Alabama has one loss. Does the SEC have a possibility of still getting two in if, now again, with this caveat, if you have a one-loss Big Ten champion, whether that be Michigan or Ohio State, a one-loss Big 12 champion, whether it be West Virginia or Oklahoma, or a one-loss Pac-12 champion, and that would have to be Washington State?
I would say that there is a strong possibility of that. As you said, if Alabama were to lose to LSU, they're going to drop to number four. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we would be in the same situation as we were last year, and Alabama would get in. But I don't think, Alabama is still going to be ranked one of the top four teams in Vegas. In mm-hmm. fact, if they lose to Clemson, they would still be ranked the number one. If they lost to LSU, mm-hmm. they would still be ranked number one in Vegas' eyes as far as being favored on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. But as far as the committee's concerned, if Alabama doesn't drop out of the top four, it'll be another mess like last year. Mm-hmm. The reason why we need to have eight teams, mind in your opinion.
Right.
But we don't have eight teams, so I'll answer the question. I think Alabama would drop to four if they lost to LSU. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they might get knocked out. The committee might drop them out at the last second this time, not necessarily because of all the negative feedback from last year. Remember, Alabama did go on to win the Final Four, mm-hmm. the tournament.
Right.
I just don't see if Clemson doesn't lose and Notre Dame doesn't lose mm-hmm. and Michigan wins out, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I was looking last night on the show, and of course, you know, criteria, and the first criteria that they listed last night, and I don't know if this is tweaked from last year or not, but the first criteria, conference championships won. That's that's the first criteria that they listed last night. And I can't recall if that was the number one criteria last year or not. And if they've changed that, if they've tweaked it for some reason, I think they may be trying to cover themselves for another episode of Alabama possibly losing at LSU, but then finishing the season very strong and be sitting there with one loss. And again, maybe their justification for saying, yeah, we're putting a lot of emphasis on conference champions this year, and we have a one-loss conference champion, we have a one-loss team in Alabama that's played one less game, and they're not a conference champion. Therefore, that justifies them leaving Alabama out.
Okay, where was this? Was this on the selection show?
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now did last year, remember, they said it's not in any particular order. Did they change their position on that? Are they saying that this is an order of criteria? Are they saying that conference champion is the number one criteria?
Let's just say they did not necessarily say that it was and I'm going to have to be quite frank with you. I was doing a show from a restaurant last night, so the sound wasn't up. But I just know on the screen that it was listed up there as far as the criteria, and that was the number, the first criteria listed. I guess that's probably the best way for me to say that without actually knowing what was actually said, because again, the sound was totally off. All we could do was see what was going on on the screen there.
Okay, well, I'll give you my quick thought on that. If that's the case, okay, then you're hindering what you've been commissioned to do is pick the best four teams. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. If people want to go, people that say, hey, conference champions, they deserve this, they've earned that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're picking the best four teams, let's say if you have a two-loss Big Ten champion like Ohio State last year. Mm-hmm. Now, Vegas had them one of the top four. They didn't get in. But if you're going to make that if that's the criteria, everyone knows that's the criteria, and you got to win your conference. Mm-hmm. But it won't be the best four teams.
Right. Well, not necessarily. It may not. I mean, it could be very well a possibility that your conference champions are the best four teams. So that's not always a
right,
given.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Well, Mike, I'll tell you, it's going to be an interesting few weeks here, as every week these new rankings come out. And of course, we'll have you back with us each week to review these. I don't see a lot of movement this week. Obviously, there's going to be some movement there with the Alabama LSU game, but other than those two teams, I don't see a lot of really shakeup this coming week.
Well, I think for the teams at the bottom, they are going to see that Georgia or Kentucky is going to lose, Alabama mm-hmm. or LSU will lose, mm-hmm. and look, Oklahoma, I know they're a double-digit favorite, but they're at Texas Tech. They have a chance. So, hey, what's tomorrow? Mm-hmm. The 1st of November.
It is, and we've talked about Notre Dame going to Northwestern. They've just come back from as crazy as it sounds, they've just come back from a home road game to Navy out in San Diego. And then now they have to turn around and go right up the road to Evanston, right north of Chicago, and take on the Wildcats, a team that has truly been Jekyll and Hyde this year. They have beat teams that that really I thought, how in the world did they win the football game? Again, last week against Wisconsin was really beat up. Hornibrook, the quarterback, did not play. I can understand that, but you can't sleep on Northwestern.
No, and they almost beat Michigan, mm-hmm. and they lost by three. Mm-hmm. They did lose to Akron, but since then, I mean, they've run off four straight wins, and it's in Northwestern. And I think it's going to have a lot to do. You're going to see that element of the big brother, little brother in that game, and we'll preview it. I'm sure we'll preview that game tomorrow on Inside the Numbers.
Yeah, well, actually, I think we proved that's a Friday or a Saturday game. Oh. So that'll be a Friday preview. But you will be back on tomorrow because we'll be taking a look at the Thursday night, NFL, and the Thursday night college game, which will be Temple at UCF. And I think Temple's got, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I've got think Temple's got a very good chance, if they play defense like they have, to go in and upset Central Florida.
Vegas agrees. I'm going to talk about that line tomorrow, how it doesn't look right.
All right, Mike. Well, we'll let you go, but we'll, again, have you back tomorrow. So we'll talk about Thursday's games and then back on Friday for Inside the Numbers. That's Mike Bernard from OTM Sports out in Las Vegas. We'll be right back. GameDaySportsRadio.com.